On Wednesday evenings, we've been started last time on the subject, the greatest spiritual warfare known to man. The greatest spiritual warfare known to man. And we read last time in Romans chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul talks about himself and his flesh and the desire that he has as a child of God to do well, obey the Lord and such as that. But then this of sin reigning in him and the wretchedness of that and making the plea and the call, who shall deliver him? And the answer is the Lord Jesus is the one that will deliver him and us. And so we see this wrangling and wrestling brought in those words, that scripture brought by the Apostle Paul. Then we took a look over in Ephesians chapter 6 and talking where the scripture there speaks to us about our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so here we see that there are some adversaries or some things that are at hand. And so we want to look into the scriptures and find out what the greatest spiritual warfare is that is faced and known to man. And so tonight we just want to take a look at this of Satan. Some would say, well, the answer to the greatest spiritual warfare that we face is our battle and our warfare against Satan. And I gave you a picture, or the scripture gave us a picture, and I just emphasized it about the fiery darts of the wicked, the assailing of Satan against the Lord's people, that assail, that those fiery darts come to us and towards us. And it's a very real thing. Satan is a real person. He is at work indeed. But is the greatest spiritual warfare against Satan? Is that really the place of the spiritual warfare? He's not to be ignored, and from the sense of making light regarding Satan and his work. But we do want to put things in their right perspective. In this, and we'll touch on it more, but these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, where's the root of that? Where's the beginning of that in this working here on the earth and in the world that is at hand? Satan. I think that you and I can understand from the scriptures that we do not fight against Satan. We don't fight him. Let's just kind of do a review about the Bible that we know. Where do we ever have in the scripture a battle of one of the saints against Satan? It doesn't exist, does it? There's a presenting of Satan that he possesses the serpent and comes and beguiles woman in the garden before sin amongst mankind. Satan has sinned. He has fallen and been cast out of heaven, has possessed the serpent. But you don't see a battle. We don't see a call to battle against Satan by the children of God to run Satan down and get a hold of him, defeat him, bind him. We don't see that in the scripture, do we? Not one Satan in the scripture that we have in an example. Now, if you go and read Mormon scriptures, if my memory serves me correctly, you'll see some of that, but that's not the Lord's word, is it? It's not the Lord's word at all. If I'm not mistaken, that is the case. So there's that. Now, well, Brother Jim, what about Brother Job? Well, Brother Job's situation, Brother Stephen did a study on that not too long ago. It was really, really good to look at that and to break that down and see that. Was Job called by God to battle against Satan? Now, Satan was used, wasn't he? Satan was allowed access to Job by the Lord lowering, dropping, removing the hedge, wasn't he? Satan did some terrible things. And it's only by the rope, it's only by the allowance that the Lord allowed Satan to get it close to him. He said, you can even touch his body, but you can't take his life. Okay? Does that tell us that it could be that the Lord could allow Satan to take the life of one of his children? The Lord put a restriction on Satan there. I don't look to answer that dogmatically. I just put there, the Lord put a boundary and Satan couldn't cross it, could he? Now, on Job's side of that, did Job know that Satan was doing a thing to him? The Lord did. There was no word from God for Job to battle against Satan. Was there? And then the apostles and those things. We're told by the Lord Jesus dealing with Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, Peter. You better go fight against him. Fight him and find him and battle against him. Well, that's not Peter's greatest challenge, is it? Satan's at work. Satan has made an accusation. I think that that's what's at hand there. Satan is at work making accusations. He said, Peter is nothing. There's no substance to Peter. You take Peter, he's all mouth, and you take and you boil him down, it's all going to be chaff and there's not going to be any fruit there. The Lord said he's prayed for him. He said, when you're converted. See, the Lord knew the end of the thing, didn't he? Another reference that we have to Satan is the Apostle Paul, don't we? The Apostle Paul said, I've got a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. So he knew that there was the affliction was there. He believed that it came from Satan, and evidently if we understand it correctly, it was to his flesh. But nowhere does Paul say that he battles and warfares and looks to find Satan and bind him. You know, there's a lot of claim in religion today about we're going to bind Satan and blah, blah, blah. You know, watch all that. Because I tell you what, the Lord indeed provides this hedge and this blessing for his children. And because you and I are no match for Satan. You and I are no match. And so for us to think that we could be or would be, the only way that we go on is by the blessing and help of the Lord and what we are called to do. And one more reference that I want to make mention of is here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 about the wayward child of God in the church, where they have to be put out from the, as we say, the umbrella and the protection of the church, right? And the apostle writes there in verse number 5 saying that they are to be removed. They are to be, there's several different words that are used there, and to be taken out of the body. And it says there, for the destruction of the flesh by Satan. So then we kind of have more of an answer of that question that I asked early on. Could it be that Satan would be allowed to take the life of one of the children of God? The physical life yet, yes, but never touch the soul. And let us be reminded too about this principle, this truth of the strong man. The Lord was accused of casting out demons by the power of Satan, Beelzebub, and the Lord Jesus made it very, very clear, the only one that abides within is the one that's the strongest, and the Lord is the strong man. When the Lord comes in, the Spirit of God comes in to the individual, there is no room for Satan on the inside. There is no room for Satan to manipulate and work in. Mary Magdalene was possessed of 7 devils, wasn't she? The child of God can never be possessed. And there's no example of a child of God ever being possessed in the scriptures. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells within. So you and I, our exposure to Satan is what? Well, our past. And maybe, you know, Mary Magdalene had the experiences. We'll go to an extreme here. She had the experiences, the demonic act at Gadara that was saved by the Lord and had the entire legion cast out of him, had the experience of that to whatever extent that they, Mary, and that man could remember. But once the Lord saved him, Satan was on the outside looking in forever. But then what is at hand is the eye gate and the ear gate and the feed that you and I get from the world, the feed that we get from the world system and all the things that are related to that, and the feed that we get from those that are being manipulated and used by Satan and his demons, and then we get the input and the feed that we get just from mankind and mankind running amok in this depravity. Okay? And that can still feed into the child of God and still feeds in through the eye gate, through the ear gate, and then can be mauled around, thought about. We'll take a look at what it says in James about how that works and can still happen with us. And you know what? We can take up and we can believe something that Satan said. We can take up and believe something that Satan showed us. But the devil made me do it. The devil hasn't made anybody do anything unless he's possessed them. And for the children of God, the devil doesn't make us do it. Hear the word, the devil made me do it. No, not for the child of God. Not for the child of God. It is the Lord's living within, and then this old flesh that is here together in this union that is that you and I, we that cannot be separated. They're here together, subject to input and what we believe. Will we believe the Lord or will we believe another? Okay. Now, the one that is not saved, the scripture is clear, is subject to be used because there is no Spirit of God living within. And there is much a hedge that's put around people and the elect and such as that, I believe. You know, again, Mary Magdalene, she was allowed to be possessed. And then the Lord saved her out of that. I mean, saved her from that possession. So as a child of God, we've got this input, eye gate, ear gate, memory, and the old man, the flesh, the body, and then that part of the mind that is the old man, the ill affected conscience. How we're all put together in there is indeed a mystery. But we want to see and understand that the devil made me do it. No, you and I are responsible as the children of God for what our Lord has told us and to reject the things that come our way. You've maybe heard people say, well, the devil just got in me. I tell you what, for the child of God, don't even go there. Don't even go there. The devil got in me. No, don't. You and I may not. We are not able. We are not allowed to blame our issues and problems on Satan. It's us. It's us. My biggest problem is me. And you know what? The Lord can help us with our greatest problem. And so let's take a look at a few scriptures here in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go back and revisit this in verse number 11, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11. And just take a look at in light of this and this part of this facet of the subject, the greatest spiritual warfare known to man. What is it? In Ephesians 6, 11, it says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So to stand, to hold the ground. We are, as a church, the pillar and ground of the truth right here in this part of Logan County and our little part of the world, Olmsted, Kentucky. And you know what we're to do? We're to stand. What we're to do is we're to stand individually and we're to stand together. Because Satan's throwing the wiles. He's pitching. He's to the extent that he's allowed, he's bringing temptation by any means that he can. He's bringing deception by any means that he can. He's looking to take away crowns if he can. He's looking to take away rewards. He's looking to compromise testimonies. And will we believe our Lord or will we believe him? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. I skipped a verse here in my notes. And let's see, read what it says here. Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not physical battles and physical runs out against people out here and conquering and such, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to deal with that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand. There it is again. Resist, oppose, to set against. We bear the truth. We are to practice the truth and to stand with the truth. And you know what? Everything false that comes our way, we're to stand and say truth, 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 live the truth, represent the truth, speak the truth, 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 think the truth, believe the truth, cling to the truth of our Lord within. May be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. So stand. We're called to stand. Not to go out and find Satan and fight against him and look to bind him. We're to look to stand right here and weather the storm. I think that's a picture that it gives. And earlier in this chapter, in verse number 10, as the brother starts this passage, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." See, it's going to only be by him that we're going to be able to stand. So how do we get that? Well, we hear him, we believe him, we take what he says in his word and we bring it to us and we look to apply it to our lives. We ask him for help. We go to him with our trial. We go to him with our trouble. We go to him with the thing at hand, and we petition heaven and our Lord for the things that we need, that we might serve him well and walk with him well. Listen to what James says as he writes to us over in his epistle in James chapter 4. The greatest spiritual warfare is it our battle and our fighting, our looking to bind Satan? No. I think that's a distraction. It's a false. It's a misunderstanding by many in our day. You know what? Who do we see fighting Satan? We see Michael fighting Satan, don't we? That's who we see fight. We see angels warring against one another. Well, there's not a warring that we do against the person of Satan. There's a line, a boundary that is put there, and we deal with the lies and the falsehood that he sins and tempts with. The Lord gives it to us here plainly in James chapter 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But resist is just like standing in it. No, we're not going to listen to that. We're not going to take that up. We're going to do that. That's a lie. The Word of God doesn't support that. It's not the way to go. It's not the thing that we should follow. We're to follow the Lord. Resist. Resist with the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, and hang on to it and cleave to it, looking to our Lord. The Lord has made us a promise. If we resist, it doesn't say to fight the devil, does it? Wrangle with him, debate him. You know, we see the Lord Jesus in the day of his temptation, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and then being tempted by Satan. And then what do we find there? Jesus taking Satan and grabbing him around the neck and pummeling him and beating him and tromping him, which he could do. He could just think it and it would have been done. You know what he does? He answers Satan and his temptation against him as a man. An excellent picture of how it is that what Satan does, he floats things across. He floats things across. He said, floats things across. The Lord Jesus answered with the Word of God. Standing, resisting. And what's it say there in the end of that? That Satan fled. That Satan went away from him for a time. And so here we see no command, no directive, no example in the scripture. Satan is a real person, and we are not to discount him. Okay, so that's not the point, but it's understanding the right place and the thing that's going on. The wiles, the fiery darts, they come our way. The deception, the seduction, the temptation comes our way by what we can see and by what we can hear. And then it lands here inside of us and what we are in our minds and our hearts. And then we deal with it. How are we going to deal with it? How are we going to deal with it? In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read at verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He'll take care of that. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't do good casting my care upon him. Spoke about peace and contentment in the cottage prayer meetings. I tell you what, taking my care and packing it up on me and carrying on, try to find the solution and grit on through and bear on through. Where's that going to get me? It's going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. The effect is going to be worse. Casting, what a blessing, what a promise. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, and he is our adversary, as a roaring lion, he makes a show, and it is serious. I made mention here recently about the comparison that somebody brought to my attention here and within the last couple months. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is. But here, Satan tries to go about like a roaring lion. He's a mimicker. He's a copier, isn't he? Where our Lord loves us, Satan hates us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he will. He'll rip up reputation. He'll bring down testimony. He'll seduce. He'll take away crowns. But he's not able to lay the hand on any of us unless the Lord lifts up the protecting arm, the protecting hedge. And even at that, it's not going to be a battle between us and Satan. It's going to be what has come here into our life and what we've heard from the Lord and the thing that our flesh is experiencing and what our Lord has told us and the bill of goods and the lies that Satan's pulling our way. And what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith in Jesus, right? When we see that word faith, believe, trust, it's always in our Lord Jesus, isn't it? Resist him. Lord Jesus, I need your help. Father, I need help. I need your strength. I need your power to do what you want me to do, to resist. We're not told to battle and fight, are we? We're told to stand. Hold the ground. Whatever you and I have, do not give it up. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse number 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so here, greatest spiritual warfare known to man. Is it a fight? Is it a battle against Satan? Well, he is a true adversary. But to go out, to be looking to defeat Satan, to use terminology about binding Satan, or to allow Satan, to say that Satan has spiritual access to the child of God is not his domain. Don't give him that. Satan is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. Our Lord lives in all of us at the same time. But Satan is a being. He's fast. He can get around fast. And he's got a lot of fallen angels with him that are doing that work of resisting, of fighting against God. But Satan has no spiritual hold on us. But he takes and he pushes things, fiery darts, wiles, lies, and he brings those our way, and then they come into us, and then there we are to deal with them. We've got the Spirit of God within us that hates it, everything of Satan, the Spirit of God that is in truth and righteousness, and then this old flesh that is not saved, that is a sucker to that kind of stuff, that we got to take and we got to mortify and pin down to obey our Lord and what he says. So, Satan, I don't believe, is that greatest spiritual warfare known to man, himself directly. Satan's work is the temptation of mankind. We've talked about that already. James chapter 1 makes this very clear. And listen to how this is. Jesus said about Satan that he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies. Okay, so that's what Jesus says about him. Quickly here, James chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The Lord doesn't tempt with sin. Satan tempts with sin. Now, the Lord tries his people, and when I disobey that testing, that trial of the Lord, that becomes sin when I disobey. But the Lord Jesus is not going to parade pornography in front of you and I. He's not going to parade rebellion and insurrection against the government in front of you and I. He's not going to take sin and wickedness and parade. That's what Satan does. He does that continually with his working in the system and feeding the depravity of man. But every man is tempted, verse number 14, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, Satan is the tempter, but where the rubber meets the road, where the lie meets being rejected or being received, is right down inside of you and me. Right down inside of you and me. The Lord doesn't tempt, but Satan tempts. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, and when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And Satan knows that. Do not err. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That's what the Lord gives. And he's given us his word, hadn't he? And cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No shadow with the Lord. He is true and directed towards us and loves us and cares for us and wants our best. This is Satan's work, the temptation of men with evil to appeal to the desires of our flesh. As I mentioned earlier, who has fought against Satan? Who has defeated and judged Satan? Well, it's our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? He has done so. He has taken Satan and met him head on. He is the one that has dealt with every wicked work of Satan indeed. As the Lord says in John chapter 12, verse number 31, as the Lord is going to the cross and he's heading that way, it's sure and it's solid, he's going there. Now is the judgment of this world, he says, John 12, 31. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The Lord's going to grab a hold of him by what he did in accomplishing his gospel, and as good as threw him out. Now, the thing is, the Lord doesn't get tore up about time like you and I do. So 2,000 years, 3,000 years, whether the earth is here another 5,000 years or what, that doesn't bother the Lord. But the Lord's saying, when I do what I do on Calvary, he is out of business. He's out of business. He's out of business. And indeed, he is. It's as good as done. John 14:30. The Lord Jesus says here, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you," speaking to his church there, "for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." I believe it's so that Satan would have loved to have seen Jesus die anywhere but on the cross. I think that he worked and he brought all the power and all the forces that he could bring to it to kill the Lord Jesus anywhere but on Calvary, just to do him in. He couldn't do it, couldn't he? Even though Jesus is bearing up under all of his people's sins, he's able to take Satan and put him in his place to where he is not able to even touch his work of salvation and atonement work for our sins. "He hath nothing in me." He has no hold on me. No hold on me whatsoever. The Lord be, an aspect of it is the Lord Jesus being divine, the divine one, the one without even the thought of sin, entered into death that came because of sin. And Satan might be tempted to say, "Well, I got him now." No. And the Lord Jesus being God, he took his life 3 days and three nights later, he took his life back again. The only one, the only man that could ever say and back it up, "Even when I'm dead, I'm in control." That's what Jesus told his church. "Even though I'm dead, I'm in control." That's the Savior that we have. And then this is the comforter that the Lord tells in his church. Who is it that has dealt and fought against, defeated and judged Satan? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. When he speaks there about the comforter given to the church, that Holy Spirit work, that special work of the Holy Spirit in the Lord's churches, he says there, he will judge the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. Of judgment, John 16:11, because the prince of this world is judged. He could grab a hold of Satan. He's able to grab a hold of Satan, and he did, and he drug him into judgment. And he's got the authority to mete out the sentence. And you know what Satan can do? Nothing. He can't change it. He can't alter it. He can't escape. It is our Lord that has fought and defeated our adversary for us. And in Luke 22, verse number 53, and another evidence of this, of the Lord Jesus is the one that has fought against Satan and defeated and judged him. In Luke 22:53, the Lord Jesus said here to those leadership of the Jews, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." The Lord told many of those religious leaders, and only the Lord Jesus can do this, but he told them, you and I can't. We know that all people before they're saved are in the way that they go and the way that they pursue appear to be the children of the devil, sinners. But only the Lord Jesus, only our Lord knows the difference between the elect and the not. Only our Lord knows the difference between the sheep and the goats. And that's his business. It's not our business. It's his business. But he told some of those religious leaders there in that day, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." And so this reference here, what the Lord says here, this passage, he said, now's the power of darkness. They were under the control of Satan. They're looking to take the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and kill him anywhere but on Calvary. I'm convinced of that presently. Kill him in the Sanhedrin. Kill him in the Praetorium. Get him over there to Herod and have Herod kill him and run him through anywhere. But where the sacrifice of God, the Lamb of God, was going to be slain for his people's sins. Yeah, you know what? And Jesus faced that power of darkness all by himself. And he defeated him. He's defeated him. And we, by imputation, we have the blessing of that upon us. He fought against Satan, defeated Satan, and judged him, and he arose victorious. He rose from the dead.